Lance Gordo, and the Observation Deck brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, I probably got 5 trillion tweets yesterday because George's dream tweet was X'd out yesterday on X Twitter.
Yeah. I saw this too.
What are you talking about?
The diarrhea girl. What's her name?
Kacey Musgraves.
Yes.
No one knows her as that except you two weirdos.
She announces it all the time.
Twice. And you can't get over it for some
reason. Every time she liquefies, she's got to let the world know. She tweeted out at 1:24 p.m. yesterday.
Is it possible to die of horniness? Asking for a friend.
And I'm sure that made your pants go all crazy.
How badly do you want it?
Oh. Yeah, I had several friends send this to me.
Uh-huh. And did you enjoy the tweet?
I think she's funny. She's just joking around.
Is it possible?
Asking for a friend. It's hilarious.
Is it? Doesn't sound like you're laughing.
She caught a little heat for it.
Yeah. I mean, some people were joking around. Three-year Letterman tweeted out, "This is disgusting and is a great example of why you'll never be as good of a musician or role model as Ashley Simpson, Demi Lovato, or Chris Cross." But, yeah, people were... And then some people were saying, oh, you're asking for a friend, are you? It's like... Yeah, that's the joke. That's right. That's been going for 10 years now, or 15 years. However long we've been doing the asking for a friend format. But anyway, your girl Kacey, hey. I guess, is rather horny. Well,
so she's not with a man right now? Or a woman?
No, I think she has a boyfriend.
So,
but she's just worried if you can die from it. Why don't you tweet out something like that, George?
Like,
is it possible to die? Yeah.
Why would I tweet out something like that?
Because that's what country music stars do these days.
Yeah, and you said it was funny. So,
well, I'm not that funny.
Yeah, but I'm telling you a line that you can tweet right now that's really funny.
That's just plagiarizing. I can't do that.
Oh, okay.
I have standards.
Plagiarism thing. Okay, making toothpaste great again. I've been meaning to mention this for a while, and they swear it's not an April Fool's prank. But KFC released fried chicken flavored toothpaste.
What?
Yeah, I heard about that. And it doesn't have fluoride in it?
No.
That sounds awful.
They took out all that stuff that we don't want, things like fluoride. And they put in stuff that we do want, which is fried chicken grease.
That's
would you try it?
Just
try it. Why not?
Yeah, I'd try it. Just see what's up.
Who wants to brush their teeth with fried chicken?
Wait, hold on.
Everybody?
I just tuned in the station. I don't know what's being discussed.
Ugh.
Yeah, I don't want to brush my teeth with fried chicken.
Yeah. That makes me want to vomit.
I know it. In general, do we kind of overrate fried chicken in the South? I don't know. Just a question. My family was all about the fried chicken. My grandmother made homemade fried chicken.
It's great.
And everybody went nuts for it. And I just remember thinking, this is...
That's what we grew up with. And now it's all about the fried tenders. And yeah.
Well, tenders is a different deal to me.
Why?
Because I just was always creeped out by eating stuff off the bone.
Oh, okay.
That just creeped me out.
Maybe the presentation's better now, but yeah, it's that taste, though. People
make
love
me think
that
it's not an animal.
And there are some that do the tenders, and they must have crack in them or something, because the line is a mile long at just about every stop.
I know. I don't remember chicken tenders being a thing when we were kids, was it? Do people have chicken tenders?
No, I would. No.
Who invented it?
I don't know.
Look that up.
I would have probably the McNugget was probably the first attempt at it, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that was right. That was more of a chicken-inspired food item, I think.
Right, but that's the first time I remember seeing them.
The chicken McNugget.
The inventor of the chicken tender is Charlie Pappas.
What?
At the Puritan Back Room in Manchester, New Hampshire in 1974. He is said to have devised the recipe by using trimmings from larger cuts of chicken, marinating them and frying them, and then serving them at his restaurant.
Genius.
So he was the game changer.
Yeah.
He's the one that's provided ham a lifetime of eating. Well, I need to explain who ham is because I don't want you to think that's a food item I'm talking about.
But you're right. I don't remember that being offered in the ham? 70s and 80s.
No. Mm-hmm.
Outside of the McNugget, maybe.
We ate a lot of fried chicken. My mom would make a lot. And then when she got busier and busier, she went to Shake and Bake. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to be like fried chicken.
It's not really like fried chicken.
Not at all.
I only just wanted the crust of the chicken.
Hmm.
Yeah. Like that's the part that was good to me.
Yeah. Incredible.
But anyway, now you can get that flavor in toothpaste form. You guys switch up your toothpaste?
Not really.
Are you brand loyal or do you just get
kind
whatever?
Brand loyal.
I guess I switch it up every few years. Like I haven't had the same toothpaste for 30 years.
Okay. In discussing toothpaste, I remember when I was a kid, there was a toothpaste that came out and I thought it was magical and that was Aquafresh.
Oh yeah.
When it came out and had the two different forms of toothpaste in a beautiful swirl.
Wasn't there also a toothpaste called AIM that had the same
thing? Yep. Did AIM have the dual pastes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, different colors, yeah.
And the other big thing, we've discussed this before, is why did it take so long for certain packaging to come forth? Like, I don't know, the 12-pack of cans that actually has the thing you can rip off the end and it dispenses the cans. Mm. Like that, you're selling the same product, you're just improving the packaging to make it much more functional. Why did it take so long for toothpaste to figure out, we make it so that the container is automatically inverted, so the toothpaste is all at the bottom, and we just have a flip cap rather than the unscrew it and then set it off to the side, and then you lose it, and then you got to pop the blackhead in order to get to the soft toothpaste underneath when it crusts over.
Well,
why did it take us so long to come up with the idea of changing the packaging?
I don't know. Maybe not enough people complained about the tube of toothpaste.
Everybody had a problem with toothpaste.
That's a really bold claim. I don't remember.
It's not that bold a claim. There were comedians doing routines about couples arguing over squeezing the toothpaste in the middle of the tube rather than at the end.
Rolling it up.
Yeah, and having to do the roll at the end. Well, all that's solved when you have a package that is inverted at all times where you store it upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were definitely slow there. Are we always slow? Like, once the wheel was invented, did those people say, why didn't we do this thousands of years ago? Or did they say, we're really ahead of the curve?
I think that the people who invented the wheel didn't have language yet.
Right.
So they couldn't have that argument.
Did they grunt?
Yeah. They grunted something that meant we're ahead of the curve, and why didn't we invent this years ago?
Like, why didn't we put wheels on suitcases long before we did?
Well, the original, that was another thing that we changed the packaging of. The suitcase used to be that unstable rectangle that had wheels on it that would always fall back behind you because you carried it, you dragged it with a leash. Do y'all remember that?
No.
Yeah, I remember those.
It was Samsonite luggage, the big square, hard-sided suitcase. And there was a dog leash attached to it, and you would drag it back behind you. It had wheels on the bottom of it.
Wow, I don't remember.
But they
remember
were very
that at all.
Unstable.
Yeah.
That was the original rolling suitcase.
When was that? 70s?
Yeah. Yes. This is so bad. And then, how about chewing gum that battles herpes? Scientists from Finland and the U.S. have developed a special type of chewing gum that traps and neutralizes herpes, and influenza. Okay. So you could chew gum to prevent getting the flu or prevent getting herpes. They put some protein in the gum that somehow traps the herpes virus and the flu virus inside it so that you don't make sick.
Huh. Will this replace the flu vaccine?
A medical grade gum made primarily from Lab.
From Lab?
Yeah. It says Lab bean powder.
Yes, science.
And I think it was invented by Bob Loblaw from Arrested Development. So it's Bob Loblaw's Lab bean. But yeah, it contains some viral trapping protein called frill.
Wow.
Bunch of words I don't understand in any of this. It's more than 50% of the virus neutralizing frill protein was released within just 15 minutes of chewing. So it worked in a mechanical mouth that they used in the lab. You think that's a creepy piece of technology?
Yes.
A mechanical mouth going talking to the scientist. Let me out. So this would be good. I'd do that. Antiviral chewing gum.
Okay.
That works. And then Lay's, as we continue with
we got a new flavor.
The oral theme of today's ODEC. Lay's has, they've announced the finalist for the $1 million Do Us a Flavor contest. This is where people sent in the flavors they wanted Lay's to develop into potato chips.
Okay.
Which we've already had so many unstable ones.
I know.
This is how we trick up the world. We take one thing that's really good, potato chips, and make it taste like something else entirely. I swear we've got...
Put the dip on the potato chips.
Aren't there mashed potato Lay's and loaded baked potato Lay's? The first one I remember was it cheddar Lay's?
Maybe.
A ranch-flavored chicken Lay's?
Ranch or sour cream?
Okay, so the latest one... Or the three finalists, Lay's Bacon Grilled Cheese.
Ooh, interested.
Lay's Valentina and Lime, which tastes like Valentina hot sauce and fresh lime.
Okay.
And Lay's Wavy Korean Style Fried Chicken.
Back to fried chicken.
Wavy Korean-styled fried chicken potato chips.
The first flavored Lay's chip was barbecue in 1965.
And that was kind of a genius invention.
All the way back then.
65, and the next was sour cream and onion in the 70s.
Yes.
Yeah. That's when the world changed.
When the world got better or worse?
I think better.
Okay. They've also had Lay's Crispy Taco. Lay's Southern Biscuits and Gravy potato chips. And Lay's Cheesy Garlic Bread potato chips.
Wow.
That's pretty tricked up.
But I bet the best-selling is still just the Lay's potato chip. Just the potato chip.
Oh, good question. You know, I bet you for many years it was the sour cream and onion. It seemed like that was a huge deal at one point.
Number one?
Yeah. But
that would make sense if they're coming up with new ways, new flavors.
But I don't see so many sour cream and onion flavored chips anymore. There for a while it was everywhere. And then I think barbecue is more popular now than sour cream and onion.
Here's a ranking that says barbecue number one, then salt and vinegar second.
Yeah, that made a big comeback.
And then classic Lay's third.
Really?
Yeah. And then cheddar and sour cream.
Do you like the...
dill behind that.
What?
Dill pickle.
Oh.
Hey, dill.
Do you like the sea salt and vinegar chip?
You bet.
I'm not big on sour things. Vinegar's a little too strong for me.
Yeah, they are pretty strong.
Yeah.
And then kettle chips is another thing that got real big for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of exciting things happening in the chipping industry.
Right.